right now. He's like, damn it. We worked all day to put out another Russia hoax. You're stealing the freaking election cycle from us, moron. You do?
Sure, you can. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my question is, could this be, since they forced Joe out of the race, Joe's way of getting back at them?
Wow. Wow. Got to go mess up the show, don't you? Being a real smartass. Throwing out a very intelligent question like that. Mike, make him call in from now on at the end of the show. Hello, it's producer Jim. It's a good question, Jim. I would rate the odds of that. Was this done on purpose to stick it to them? 60-40 yes. I would. That is a brilliant point. Well, you totally messed up. No, I'm kidding. Actually, yeah, that's a great question. I would say 60-40 yes. Folks on Rumble, what do you think of that? Let me know. Give me your input. Mike's standing by just in case we got to fire Jim, if it was a stupid question. They are furious, though. The Harris team and Derek Farland are just furious because yesterday they did what we expected them to do. And I might add, self-praise stinks, but whatever. I'll take a moment. I might add, we've been warning you about Russia hoax 3.75 subsection 812 for the last month and a half, telling you what's happening. We've been putting out receipts left and right. We addressed the Holman Jenkins article in the Wall Street Journal 2 weeks ago, telling you that there's going to be a connection to a Russian television outlet. Someone please go back and find the show. You are 2 weeks to 2 months ahead of the news cycle on this show. I'm proud of that. We will never waste your time. And you know what? Let's go a little out of order, Jim, because I like to do it different than the podcast. So you can go back and listen to both. Let's go to cut two. This cut is a little long. It's a minute 40 seconds. I prefer to keep them shorter. In case you missed it yesterday during the show, our disgraced corrupt attorney general, Derek Farland, comes out with Lisa Monaco and deep state Christopher Wray and gives a presser basically saying the Russians are back and they're influencing conservative media and there's misinformation everywhere. You're like, didn't we hear this already? You're like, no, it's a different press conference. You're like, this isn't the 2016-2021 on loop. No, it's a new one. So I was like, wow, that's interesting. They're trying it again. And we went over it on the air. And I said to you a couple weeks ago, watch, the Russia hoax this time is going to involve some kind of pseudo-Russian stealing the election nonsense that's going to involve a Russian television outlet. Listen to MSNBC and Fusion Ken Delanian, CIA mouthpiece, their alleged national security reporter, repeat the nonsense without an ounce of critical thinking at all that this may all be another big election interference scam. And notice how the end, how he mentions Russian television outlet. Wow, kind of sounds like something we warned you about. Check this out.
We begin this hour with breaking news. The Biden administration taking a series of actions to target what they allege are attempts by Russian-backed actors to manipulate public opinion here in the U.S. ahead of the presidential election, according to two senior U.S. officials. Joining us now is NBC's Ken Delanian. Ken, what more have we learned?
Jose, this is being described by our sources as a whole-of-government action designed to target Russian propaganda and disinformation aimed at interfering in the 2024 election. It is said to include sanctions by the Treasury Department, law enforcement action by the Justice Department, and one of the focuses is on RT, formerly known as Russia Today, that network of Russian government-funded English-language websites and television platforms that was flagged all the way back in 2017 by the U.S. intelligence community as a vehicle for Russian disinformation and election interference. And at that time, the Justice Department required RT to register as a foreign agent. It remains to be seen exactly what actions the U.S. will take against RT today, but this does appear to represent an escalation in the efforts to try to purge the system of Russian propaganda and disinformation. What's interesting is that, look, the U.S. has been saying all along that not only Russia, but Iran and China, but particularly Russia, has been consistently trying to manipulate American public opinion with disinformation on social media platforms, use of fake accounts, and through RT, through its state-sponsored platforms, as they did in 2016. The difference now is that there are mechanisms in place, particularly on the social media platforms, to try to stop and flag fake accounts before the influence operations spread too widely.
Now, that's Fusion Ken Delanian.
He's called Fusion Ken because during the pee-pee hoax, the entire Russian dossier nonsense conspiracy theory from 2016, discredited by every serious person with a functioning neuron on planet Earth and in any other cosmos known or unknown. One of the key figures in that was a company called Fusion GPS, run by Christopher Steele, where their briefing documents told this whole fake Russia collusion story. Those briefing documents, Ken Delaney, and if you go look it up, is alleged by numerous writers. You can look at the work of Lee Smith. It's really good. To have been a part of that whole conspiracy to get this nonsense information out there. But Ken Delaney is accused of something more serious. If you read this article by The Intercept, which, by the way, is not a conservative outlet, okay, at all. The Intercept wrote an article called The CIA's Mop-Up Man. Keep in mind, the guy just parroting Russia Hoax 3.0 without an ounce of criticism. His name is Ken Delaney. So who is the article? Who is this article in The Intercept about called The CIA's Mop-Up Man? Quote, a prominent national security reporter for the LA Times routinely submitted drafts and summaries of his stories to CIA press handlers prior to publication, according to documents The Intercept received. Email exchanges between CIA public affairs officers and Ken Delaney, the same guy? A reporter who previously covered the CIA for the Times shows that Ken Delaney enjoyed a closely collaborative relationship with the agency, explicitly promising positive news coverage and sometimes sending the press office of the CIA entire story drafts for review prior to publication. Wow. Now do you see why when I'm told, oh my gosh, Lauren Chen, Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, all these people, Rush, I'm like, hold! Hold. Trust absolutely nothing that comes out of the DOJ or FBI about Russia and elections prior to an election. I'm not telling you it may not turn out to be true. I'm telling you I trust nothing they say until a source I actually trust, maybe an IG we can get in there, verifies this stuff, because they have a history in 2016 and 2020, the DOJ and FBI, of stealing elections or trying to. The PP hoax in 2016, the laptop hoax in 2020, and a sustained effort to lock up and target Tea Party conservatives, Moms for Liberty, school board parents, and pro-life activists. I trust nothing, and you shouldn't either. And the fact that Fusion Ken Delaney, who's got an extensive relationship with the CIA, is out there on MSNBC, the PP tape network, parroting another FBI DOJ talking point without an ounce of criticism, tells me everything I need to know, which is hold. The Bongino rule is in full effect. Report on it. Discuss what's going on, but draw absolutely no conclusions whatsoever until independent, trusted sources can get to this information. This is going to be a busy hour here, but I want you to keep in mind as I'm going to make for you two key points, the two top takeaways I'm going to make for you in this hour about what happened yesterday with this new Russia collusion hoax. And the gist of it's simple. Russia bought off conservative influencers. That's what they're trying to say to try to help Donald Trump. None of that's actually true if you read the indictment. However, that's what they want you to believe. I'm going to make two key points and then three subordinate points that are important. So five altogether. And you will have no doubt they're trying to screw us over again and steal another election by the time I'm done. But I want you to keep this in mind before we dig further into the details on Russia collusion hoax 3.0. What does Vladimir Putin want? Some of you will say after today, well, didn't he just endorse Kamala Harris? I've got the video and audio, by the way. So he wants Kamala Harris to win. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Vladimir Putin wants chaos. Vladimir Putin doesn't care who wins as long as whoever wins results in chaos in the United States. Please don't forget that. Don't be like liberals. Liberals are morons. They're like, that's a hoax, man. Liberals are idiots. They are as dumb as a box of granite rocks. They are morons. Please do not be a liberal. Think critically. Putin does not care who wins. Putin cares about destroying the United States from the inside and getting Americans to distrust their system. That's what Putin wants, period. Putin uses our intelligence services and our American liberal dumbass media because he knows what the blob and the media and the intelligence community here wants, which is something completely different. They need Donald Trump to lose. Chaos to them is second because Donald Trump, they know in the second term, is going to get in there and declassify everything they were up to in his first term, and they will do anything to stop him. Putin knows this. Putin wants chaos. The blob needs Trump to lose. So they feed off each other like Eddie Brock and Venom, like a symbiote. The real Putin stooges you're going to see after today's show today are not conservatives, but the liberal media and the blob. Receipts incoming. More coming up next. We'll be right back. Bongino.
You change your plea deal. You change your plea. How often does that happen?
Well, it's not uncommon to see plea deals occur before trials, but in this case, many of us have been writing for months that Hunter Biden was perfectly insane not to plead guilty. Timing is important. You can get a better deal if you plead early rather than late. It's sort of like waiting for the water to reach the deck on the Titanic before you ask about swimming lessons. I mean, it's a little bit late for some of those options. And so he's really has succeeded in putting himself in the worst possible position in terms of a plea. This is the penalty for a lawyer standing in federal court and telling prosecutors, quote, just rip it up. And that's what happened when the judge raised concerns about this sweetheart deal. And a prosecutor admitted they'd never seen a deal like this being offered to a defendant. And the defense basically sort of tipped the table over and said, well, we're not going to cooperate. The Department of Justice later said that they still wanted to get a plea with Hunter, but they blamed the defense for its position. So there's a lack of intelligent design here. I mean, in some ways, you could say, well, this is just a game of chicken. But if it is, they lost. I mean, by pleading guilty on the eve of the trial, you don't have much to trade away.
So, Professor, here's what's interesting. The incentive structure is for Hunter Biden to plea to guilty and get this plea deal before the trial date. That's the incentive structure. And a normal defendant would have taken that. Maybe a normal defendant whose father wasn't president of the United States. When something is inexplicable, you look for the most rational thing you can conclude. And is he having behind the scenes conversations with President Biden, who says, no, I'm not commuting. I'm not pardoning. You better do what's best for your future. I know I'm asking you to speculate, but this is really inexplicable.
Well, this is a very long learning curve, if that's the case, because they were repeating the same defenses that collapsed in Delaware. I mean, this defense that I was a drug user and therefore I did all of these things from gun charges to tax evasion for years really didn't, pass the smell test with jurors. And they were going to have a more difficult time in this case. Like, the best chance they had was the gun case in Delaware, which was a limited period of time. In this case, you have Hunter Biden globetrotting around the world, hitting up people for millions in influence peddling, citing his father, even threatening people that his father was sitting next to him. Those tapes, those communications did not look like some junkie on the street trying to score another hit. They looked like a very sophisticated businessman in what may be one of the largest influence peddling schemes in history.
Will this have any bearing on those three convictions with the federal gun charges, or is this totally separate inability to fix those in any way, shape, or form?
Well, this is another problem with waiting too long. He's now a convicted person. He's going to go into sentencing with a record. And so that never helps on sentencing. I think that it would be very strange for the Department of Justice, after all of this history, not to seek some jail time. And if they seek jail time, they'll get it very likely from this judge. So that may ultimately prompt the president to pursue a pardon or commutation. We'll have to see. But the odds at this point favor jail time. They didn't when the Justice Department was still in favor of a plea agreement after it collapsed. So I just fail to see why this defense strategy was enlightened. It does not seem to have worked out particularly well for Hunter Biden.
And if this is an Alford plea, Professor, wouldn't he have to get approval from the highest levels of the Department of Justice? So that would mean Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Yeah, he would. I expect that he would likely get it. How that would play out in the politics of the moment is rather uncertain, as you've noted. And I think you're correct on this, that most people really don't see that nuance. I'm not entirely convinced that if he reserves the right to appeal, he has anything to appeal on. I mean, his defenses were a series of Hail Mary plays that I just missed by a mile, and I don't see any real appellate issue.
You can handle the truth. The Dan Bongino Show.
So, I need everyone to hold on this latest Russia hoax, and let me get the bottom line up front with two key top-tier takeaway points. Point number one. This Russia hoax put out yesterday by Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray. By the way, I'm not suggesting that some of the subordinate facts inside the indictment may not turn out to be true. I'm telling you that's not what their agenda was to stop RT or Russian television from influencing the elect. They don't believe any of that. Takeaway number one, this is clearly a plot to tar conservative voices before the most critical election of our lifetime, where the blob cannot have Donald Trump win. Jim, did you see it on my Twitter feed? It's happening already. Inside the indictment, they mention, although they disguise the names, Benny Johnson, Tim Pool, and other conservative influencers. Which is interesting because many of them claim they were never contacted by the DOJ at all, were deceived by this company, and have not been charged with a damn thing. So at best, I mean, Jim and I are in this business. At best, they're guilty of what, Jim? Working with a company that turned out to not be what they said? That's it. There's not even a hint of a crime there. But the goal was to make sure you distrust conservative influencers. I'm going to prove it to you coming up next. And the second takeaway, I want everyone out there in the conservative ecosystem to be very careful who you're talking to, who you're emailing, and who you're communicating with. Are people working as FBI assets here? Stay tuned.
Feels they've been treated now. I mean, this is embarrassing for them to go into court, to be prepared for trial, and suddenly for them to say, oh, never mind, we're not doing this anymore. That's actually very embarrassing for the department, in addition to the fact of how they've already messed this case up all along. And so I'm not saying that they won't get there, but I don't think it's just going to be a smooth path for the next few minutes or so. I think this is going to be a back and forth for the next few hours.
I want to bring in John Yoo on this. John, if you have a question or something you'd like to add with Carrie, please go free. Talk to her.
Oh, well, Kerry, what possible issues would you appeal? That's a thing that's puzzling to me.
Right.
Is why not
right.
just plead guilty and hope to get a good deal? This idea of preserving issues for appeal doesn't really make any sense to me.
Makes no sense at all. And frankly, I think I have thought all along it was insane not for him to plead guilty at the very beginning. Either you pay your taxes or you don't. It's really that simple. And as Emily mentioned, people hate paying taxes. They hate even more the guy that gets away with not paying those taxes. And you know what they hate even more than that? The guy that gets a get-out-of-jail-free card from his dad, who happens to be the president of the United States, because nobody else in America has that. It is like the most unsympathetic situation that one can create, both in the court of public opinion and the court of law. So none of this has made any sense. And so he should have pled guilty the second this happened. But again, as Martha mentioned earlier, he loves the drama.
Can I hog the microphone one more time? This is just tax evasion, right? So isn't it the case that this is not over for Hunter either? Unless he gets a full spectrum pardon, not even a commutation, but a pardon, he could still be investigated for all the other things he's allegedly done too, right?
Well, that's true. But, you know, I think the issue there is that I think there's a high possibility that the statute of limitations has run. You know, there was reporting some years ago that he was being investigated by the department for FARA violations, for not registering as a foreign agent as he was gallivanting around the world, lobbying for foreign countries and not, you know, telling the government that he was doing so. But there's a statute of limitations on that. Unless it continues to be an ongoing situation, like as if he was, in other words, if he was continuing to do that right now for the same company. And so that could have passed. And that is an easy, I think, way that DOJ could have nailed him if they wanted to. And yet it seems that they didn't, which is, you know, also an open question as to why they didn't pursue that.
Yeah, I mean, try to get in the mind of Hunter Biden. Good luck with that. Kerry Urban, thank you so much. Wanted to get some closing comments on this from you, Emily.
Well, just as well, the concept that, you know, when you are a defendant in a large tax evasion case, you have multiple phases of attorneys. And your trial attorneys are different than your pretrial attorneys that are different than the ones that communicated in the first space and the like. And I have no doubt that given the volume of resources available to Hunter Biden, obviously we knew his attorney by name the whole time. But the reality is the teams are different because it's a different skill set. And the notion and concept that it's perhaps a large surprise to the upper leadership at the DOJ seems to me that it might underscore a potential lack of communication. And I wonder now, at what level did the Alford plea, was it accepted, and at what level where that might possibly, we might possibly get the message that that was unacceptable, that that was actually not on you to be able to accept. So I wonder, as that perhaps gets more fleshed out, we will see perhaps that reverberating throughout the prosecutorial team.
Okay, now you got my attention. Now I know there's more to come. All right, we want to get to this breaking news. We knew it was coming, and now it's happening. Former President Donald Trump giving remarks at the Economic Club of New York. Let's watch together.
China virus, we saved the economy. We rescued tens of millions of jobs. And after COVID, I handed Kamala and Joe the fastest and strongest recovery ever recorded, nothing even close. With 1.4% inflation, the 30-year mortgage rate was at 2.4%, and the highest stock market in history. This is despite the pandemic. To date, I handed them back the highest stock market to date after having just suffered with the rest of the world a pandemic, the likes of which nobody had ever seen before. We did an incredible job, and remember, far more people died of COVID under Biden-Harris than under President Trump. Many, many more people.
Any questions? Call 844-4-THE-USA to get the answers. 844-484-3872. The Dan Bongino Show.
Here we go. Eric. Who's Eric? You mean who's Eric? He is the official Dan Bongino Show Pantera content recognizer. So there you go, Eric. Consider the content recognized. If you ever want to, you know, if you ever want to be an honorary P1 and you want to know what the Pantera incident was all about, you can buy Jim's book, The Dan Bongino Show Survival Guide. He goes into all the deets about that horrible day. Pantera incident. still brings me back into in the doctor's office. I was like, what just happened? Folks, two key takeaways from Russia Hoax 3.0. Point number one. This is clearly a plot to tar conservative voices, folks. I'm already seeing it. I'm going to do a little test with you. If you're not busy and you're not driving, you're not watching kids or anything, go to X, Twitter. Pull up my account. I'm at DBongino. I'm not asking you to follow me or anything. This is some like grifty move. I just pull it up. And I want you to look at my tweets from this morning. Just look at the replies. Now, I block losers, so you may not see, but you're going to see a lot of deranged liberal lunatics on there doing exactly what Russia, Putin, and the blob wanted them to do, which is to say, oh, are you taking Russian money too? That was the point yesterday of the press conference. The point of the press conference wasn't Christopher Wray, Lisa Monaco, and Derek Farland, our disgraced attorney general, actually believing they're stopping a Russian intelligence operation. They don't care about any of that. They don't. They just had a Chinese Communist Party alleged operative up in New York prosecuted in the governor's office. So your case here was that they started a media company with some Russian money and didn't register as a foreign agent? Fine. These other guys who got roped into this are at best guilty of not doing good vetting on business partners. You really believe, as a sane person, that the DOJ believes Benny Johnson, Tim Pool, and Dave Rubin are Russian operatives? Do you have any idea how stupid you have to be to believe that? Or you can be the average liberal. Who is dumb enough? Point number one. Go to my Twitter account. Look, you will see it here. The purpose 60 days out prior to an election was to make sure every conservative with a voice on X, Truth, Snapchat, TikTok, Rumble, whatever, is tarred with this Russia label. Now, for me, it's particularly offensive because I've only called out Vladimir Putin as a terrorist scumbag. How many times, Jim? Once or twice, you think? Yeah. Maybe like 1,000. And in addition, we at Bongino Inc., which is my company, we do not take money in the company from investors. I own Bongino Inc. It's Dan Bongino's. So when, sorry to do the Bob Dole third part, but it's important here. When I make an investment decision, like to go to the RNC, for example, and my staff has to fly out there, the money doesn't come from investors. Whose pocket does it come out of? That's right. A guy named Dan Bongino. I'm not knocking other people for taking money from investors. There are other conservative media companies out there that have money backing them. And that I'm not knocking them. Don't mistake what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the point of yesterday's press conference was to tar every conservative media talking head with this Russia label. Even though a guy like me, who doesn't take money but invests money in platforms like Rumble, which I disclose so much, it actually annoys people. There are people like, Dan, you don't have to disclose it every time. No, I do, because it's important you know that I have invested in this free speech platform. So there's no confusion. But there's a difference. I don't take money. I give money to support free speech. I invest in it. These liberals, and I hate to have to even do this because this really comes off like a when did you stop beating your wife answer to what the liberal question they wanted was. When did you stop beating your wife, right? Why I even have to say this is pathetic. But to all the liberal canoes out there, morons, imbeciles, and losers, you're the Russian stooges. The platform I invested in, Rumble, is banned in Russia, you dumbasses. I know you're too stupid, too moronic to go look that up, but the Russian government tried to squeeze Rumble, a free speech site, saying, pull this down. We promptly responded with two middle fingers. We gave him the Braveheart, where we pulled the kilts up and mooned him, and said, we're not doing anything. So Rumble's banned in Russia. So if Bongino Inc. is a Russian stooge, why are we banned in Russia by the place that supposedly we're stooge? Because you're stupid. Because you're stupid people. That's why. Vladimir Putin wants chaos in the United States. He doesn't care who wins as long as the place burns. And the easiest way he's found to incorporate useful idiots into his chaos movement is to go with American liberals and the liberal media and constantly sow misinformation campaigns he knows they'll put on the air. Liberals are the stooges. The receipts are everywhere. Conservative influencers are working for Putin. If you listen to the Mark Levin show, is there a more anti-Putin voice anywhere out there? There are people in the conservative movement, me included, who hate Vladimir Putin. He's a scumbag. I spent time in Russia. Did you? Journalist losers out there. I was there twice. I know exactly what this guy's capable of. I've seen the actual inner workings of his FSB. Tell you stories for days. Leave that for another day. I've seen it. Journalists, you haven't seen anything. But there are people in the conservative movement who question what our plan is in Ukraine. Doesn't make anybody a Russian stooge. But because Putin knows liberals are absolute morons, the dumbest people on planet Earth, he does what? He engages in another half-ass attempt where he throws out, he makes this stuff all discoverable, by the way. He puts out these feelers to conservative influencers, knowing the DOJ will pick it up, and again, run with another Russia hoax. Let me ask you a question. Well, I'm not even at point two yet. Here's a question for, you know, liberal morons out there. If Vladimir Putin really wants Donald Trump to win, why doesn't he release the information about the payments from the Moscow mayor's wife to the Biden operation? Why? Liberals like, I don't know, man. I know you don't know. You're too stupid to know. Why doesn't Vladimir Putin reveal the real Russia collusion story? How this thing never existed. How Donald Trump was never peed on in a hotel. Why doesn't he talk about that? Why doesn't Vladimir Putin, who knows, by the way, all the details of Hunter Biden's deal with Ukraine, why doesn't Putin come out and talk about it right now? Why doesn't Putin give a press conference tomorrow and say, you know what, to the American people? I'm just going to tell you something. You do what you want in the election, but let me tell you who your sitting president really is. Here are the records of the Moscow mayor's payments. Here are the financial records to the Biden operation there. Here's what we know about the Ukraine thing. Why doesn't he do that? Why is Vladimir Putin so quiet about Biden's corruption? He knows about it. He's a former KGB intel guy. You think he doesn't know? No, don't jump to the answer. He doesn't want to help Biden or Harris. He wants to make sure chaos happens in the United States and nobody trusts anybody. That's why. And the only ones falling for it are imbeciles in the liberal progressive movement who, without an ounce of discipline, integrity, or character at all, sucked up everything Merrick Garland put out yesterday. And you're already seeing everybody who tweets who's a conservative. Are you guys Russia too? So point number one again. This is a plot to tar conservative voices. That's all this is. That is all this is. That's point number one. Here's point number two. Folks, if you are a conservative with a large Twitter account, X account, a digital show, a cable news show, or a radio show, I'm going to warn you right now, you better be damn careful who you talk to on the phone. You better be careful who you email. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not sure, and it's tragic I have to tell you this, I'm not sure this whole thing isn't a federal operation to begin with. Where's Julie Kelly when you need her? Julie, get on this. You and Darren, you'd be perfect. You've been all over these Fed surrections. Folks, the allegations against Lauren Chen are allegations. Lauren Chen in the indictment, I briefly met Lauren back at Conservative Review. We're not, I guess, what you call friends. I'm not sure if we met in person or didn't, but we don't know each other in that friendly kind of way. I know Benny Johnson and Tim Pool and Dave Rubin well. If you think they're Russian stooges, you're just a stupid person. I can't help it. I'm sorry. So just turn the show off. It's not for you. Lauren, I don't know. Lauren is alleged. She is entitled to due process, and I trust nothing coming from the DOJ or FBI to have taken money from this Russian-connected entity to try to recruit conservative influencers. That's it. It's a very simple indictment. It's meant to be simple so that the media can pick it up and run with it. However, Andrew Weissman, of all people, you're like, Andrew Weissman, wasn't he one of the PPGate hoaxers, one of the Bob Mueller guys? Yes, yeah, same guy. Andrew Weissman put out a tweet last night trying to imply how serious this case was, trying to advance Russia collusion 3.0. But I think what he did, folks, is inadvertently may have outed that this could be a Fed op the entire time. Here's his tweet. He says, the charging documents raise a curious question. Keep in mind, Weissman worked at the DOJ. He said, DOJ charges two lower-level employees of a Russian front company. But despite providing chapter and verse about the complicity of the two founders of that company, the founders are not charged. My suspicion is the founders were charged a while ago under seal and flipped, i.e. are cooperating with the United States government. Now, Weissman is not your friend. Weissman can't stand you. Andrew Weissman is a deep state blog hack of the highest order. What he's trying to do with this tweet is go, oh my gosh, look, this is so serious. The government's got sources working. What he inadvertently did, and may not even know it, is he may have given up the whole kit and caboodle. Folks, this may be a Fed op from the beginning. I don't trust the FBI or DOJ leadership right now as far as I can throw them. I don't know what happened with this case outside of what's in this indictment. I was not contacted by anyone in advance. I know the people involved. Our company has no relationship with this other company at all. I told you, Rumble's banned in Russia. That's how much they hate us. So you accuse us of that, you better be really careful. And I mean really careful. I can't stop dumb liberals on Twitter. They're going to say what they want because they're dumb. But if you're a journalist and you even dare run with that story, I absolutely promise you, it is going to be an embarrassing day for you. But folks, you better start asking yourself really serious questions. If the founders of this company that's alleged to have bought off conservative influencers were not arrested and weren't paraded in front of television to make a big example, look at what these evil conservatives are doing. Why not? Are people working with the federal government? I'm not talking about anyone specific. I'm asking about people in general. How did this start? Was this Russian company incentivized by someone to push money into the conservative ecosystem? Folks, trust absolutely nothing coming out of this DOJ and FBI. Nothing. They have a history of election interference on paper that is documented. They do not want Donald Trump to win. They wanted to tar conservative voices. Every single dumbass liberal is going to respond to any tweet you put out now. Are you Russian too? Watch. You'll see it. It's on Twitter because they're stupid. And be really careful who you're talking to on the phone and who you're emailing. Not because I think you're a bad person or up to no good. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying the government is likely up to no good. And you don't know who they flipped and who they're working with. And if you're of a big show and you get an offer, oh, look, we want to sponsor your show and be an investor. I'm not talking about advertisements. I'm talking about if they want to invest, you better be careful. That's why we run our own operation here. All right, I got three more points on this that are critical. And I'm going to ask you this question here. If this was an operation designed to hurt Donald Trump, then why was one of the so-called alleged ringleaders posting against Donald Trump? Does that make any sense? only if you're a liberal. We'll be right back.
Bongino.
Further defeat inflation, my plan will terminate the Green New Deal, which I call the Green New Scam. Greatest scam in history, probably. A $10 trillion scam that we waste. We throw, like throwing money right out the window. It actually sets us back as opposed to moves us forward. And rescind all unspent funds under the misnamed Inflation Reduction Act, which the Democrats agreed after it was approved that it wasn't for that purpose. It was for other purposes like giveaways. Kamala spent $7.5 billion to build 8 charging stations. Think of a charging station like a fuel pump with electricity coming out of it. 8 charging stations in the Midwest for electric vehicles cost billions and billions of dollars. $7.5 billion, they think, but the costs are still going, and 3 of them don't work and never will, probably. Other than that, it's worked out quite well. I will end the electric vehicle mandate, stop the appalling waste, and save taxpayers an estimated $1 trillion. Third, I will launch a historic campaign to liberate our economy from crippling regulation. My first term, I pledged to cut 2 old regulations for every 1 new regulation, and we did much better than that, as I've said. Yet over the past 4 years, Kamala has added $6,300 a year in regulatory costs onto the backs of the typical American family. Think of that. To stop this onslaught and lower prices, I'm pledging today that in my second term, we will eliminate a minimum of 10 old regulations for every 1 new regulation. We'll be able to do that quite easily, actually. And instead of attacking industries of the future, we will embrace them, including making America the world capital for crypto and Bitcoin. Fourth, at the suggestion of Elon Musk, who has given me his complete and total endorsement. That's nice. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. It's very, very much appreciated. I will create a government efficiency commission tasked with conducting a complete financial and performance audit of the entire federal government and making recommendations for drastic reforms. We need to do it. Can't go on the way we are now. And Elon, because he's not very busy, has agreed to head that task force. Be interesting. If he has the time, that'd be a good one to do it. But he's agreed to do it. In 2022, fraud and improper payments alone cost taxpayers an estimated hundreds of billions of dollars. As the first order of business, this commission will develop an action plan to totally eliminate fraud and improper payments within 6 months. This will save trillions of dollars. Trillions. It's massive. For the same service that you have right now, trillions of dollars is wasted and gone, and nobody knows where it went. Further taming inflation and bringing prices way down. The fifth pillar of my plan is to make the Trump tax cuts permanent.
The most informative 3 hours you'll have all day. The Dan Bongino Show.
Listen, I'm not going to let you down today. I promise. I slept good last night. I got up super early, hit the cold plunge again, because I wanted today to bring the heat. There is zero chance, zero, I am going to let another Russia hoax and a group of Russian hoaxers steal another election. I'm not going to let it happen. Not on my watch. I'm not going to let it happen. There is zero chance. What happened yesterday with this Justice Department, FBI, Lisa Monaco, Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, disgrace, is nothing more than an effort to tar conservative voices again with the Russia label. I am going to bring a litany of receipts today. Nobody knows this topic as well as I do. Nobody. I've written four books on this. They have been doing that. They tried this on John McCain. No. Yes. Which books? It's in Exonerated. I think my second book on the Russia hoax and the government. The receipts are all there. They've been doing this forever. It stops now. Hey, I'm a proud American. That means if you come after me or my family, I'll be ready. That's why I rely on My Patriot Supply for my emergency supplies. Their Mega 3-Month Emergency Food Kit comes jam-packed with 33 varieties of filling and delicious foods. Creamy chicken-flavored rice, Italian spaghetti, savory cheesy broccoli soup. You also get a bonus protein kit with diced beef, flavorful chicken, and 3 varieties of beans, 9 different fruits, vegetables, and snacks. Jim, you have one, correct? Yes, he does. Why? Because Jim's prepared. I've got multiples for every member of my family. This emergency food kit provides 2,500 calories a day, keep you well-fed in an emergency. You think you're going to rely on a government emergency? Folks, they can't even feed themselves. You'll starve to death. That's a fact. Get your emergency food today. Get your food insurance. The food lasts where you store it, if you store it right, up to 25 years. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Save $300 on your Mega 3-Month Emergency Food Kit. It ships fast and free. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Save $300 on your kit. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Dan Bongino.
Okay, I'm not even remotely done with Russia Hoax 3.0. I made 2 points in the beginning. I want to make 3 more subordinate points, but almost as important. That's why they're subordinate. Number one, this operation by Russian television media outlet to so-called influence conservative influencers must have done a really poor job, because one of the influencers alleged to running it was tweeting against Donald Trump. You can actually look this up, liberals. I know you're too stupid, but you can look it up. Point two, how many times do I have to warn you, Jim? I know we're going to, how many times have we said this on the air? I have warned you probably 100+ times that there are people secreting themselves in our movement who are being paid to sow chaos. I've warned about this over and over. More about this after.
By over $5 trillion, a record many times over. It would result in the largest small business tax hike in history, massively raising taxes on 25 million small business people, and raising small business tax rates to 43% and higher. In other words, 20% higher than communist China. Kamala is also vowing to raise the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%. We're bringing it down to 15%. But she really is looking to raise it to 40, 45, or even 50%. You know that. All you have to do is follow her past path. Radically raise the capital gains tax rate, which she wants to do, and they don't even want to give a number. And for the first time ever, impose a 25% tax on unrealized capital gains. So if you happen to have a lot of wealth but no cash, you're in a lot of trouble. This will lead America into a 1929 depression, and it will be a depression and a territory that we have not seen for a long time. There's a gentleman that happens to believe that. Scott, these policies, especially the tax on unrealized capital gains, would decimate the U.S. economy. Companies and innovation would flee from America to other countries. Venture capital markets would disappear. The stock market would be annihilated. And investors assess the tax liabilities of large shareholders. The seniors and senior pensions would totally go up in smoke. They'd be worthless. These are not the policies designed to create a prosperous America. These are policies to turn the United States into Venezuela on steroids. Even if for this reason alone, Kamala Harris must be defeated decisively this November. Has to be defeated. Cannot have her be the president of the United States. Under Kamala, the United States is becoming a third world banana republic. She and her party are censoring speech, weaponizing the justice system, and trying to throw their political opponents, me, in jail. This hasn't happened. I didn't do that to Crooked Hillary. I said that would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Putting the wife of the President of the United States in jail. But they view it differently, I guess, nowadays, but that's okay. And they always have to remember that two can play the game. Nobody ever thought this was possible. This is how you create massive capital flight and turn once prosperous nations into absolute ruins. I will have no higher priority as president than to restore the fair, equal, and impartial rule of law in America. We have lost the rule of law. Who would have thought? Number six, under my leadership, America will encourage domestic production instead of punishing it. As you know, our country's vast manufacturing wealth was created at a time with very little domestic taxation. Few regulations and most revenue came from tariffs from other countries. That was when we were at the wealthiest ever, proportionately. We were the wealthiest country ever during those days. That was before income tax came along. Now we foolishly do the opposite. We impose lower tariffs and no tariffs on foreign producers. We have the lowest tariffs of any nation in the world, and we relentlessly punish our own companies for doing business in America. You do business in America, you're punished tremendously. I had many, many companies come to me, sir, I can't compete. They're sending kitchen cabinets, washers and dryers, everything. I can tell you, every motorcycles, they're sending them here, sir. We can't compete. And I made it so they could compete and thrive. Every one of those people, we should get them up and talk to you one day, because every one of those people comes up to me, and every time I see them, they hug me, they kiss me, they love me, because I saved their businesses. I intend to reverse this model and once again turn America into the manufacturing superpower of the world. We can do that just with being intelligent. The key to this effort will be a pro-American
trade. The former president of the United States giving a lot of detail about his economic policy, and we want to dig into it now a bit. He's at the New York Economy Club, and John Yoo is with us today. John, you were talking a little bit about the venue and the importance of a conversation like this there.
Well, people might be surprised to see the non-rally Trump up here. This is the serious Trump. He's actually discussing serious questions of economic policy. This is one of the two areas, along with immigration, where Trump really beats Harris. And so it's good to see him come out, I think, and lay out some really serious policies, like making the tax cuts permanent, like trying to get rid of government waste, putting Elon Musk in charge of. I actually think that might not be good for our economies, for Elon Musk to stop running private companies and spin his wheels in the quicksand of government. But that's a lot of news to get to really place a focus on. You also heard he's going to try to really cut back on regulation. If I were his director, I would say, go out and say, I will return all regulations back to where they were when I was president and eliminate all the regulations under the Biden administration. That could be a real spark plug for the economy. So I think we heard a lot of very important substantive policies come out here.
Yeah, I'm going to pull out one of those. And that was the one thing that got remarks and claps from the audience there, which you would mainly think wouldn't do that much because of the executive types and economic analysts who are in the room. But Martha, what would you say about this idea to put Elon Musk in charge of efficiency for the government?
So this is an idea that was proposed by Elon Musk in the interview that he did with President Trump. He said this is obviously something that is very important to Elon Musk, and he looks at the waste in the government, and it drives him insane. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when Elon Musk opens the books at the Department of Agriculture or Education or any other building that takes up an entire city block in Washington, D.C. and has thousands of employees, and they're going to do a complete financial and performance audit of the entire federal government?
Ooh.
I mean, I think one of the tricky things here is, you know, this is the Economic Club of New York. These people were applauding. They want to see government out of business. They want to see government and small businesses have the freedom to operate without, you know, stacks of regulation. When you want to open a company, I mean, the amount of paperwork and redundancy.
NYPD to the Secret Service to behind the microphone, taking the fight to the radical left and the putrid swamp. You're listening to the Dan Bongino Show. Here he is, Dan Bongino.
Do not fall for Russia hoax 3.0, ladies and gentlemen. They are trying to steal another election. It is clear as day. The evidence is right in front of you. They've done it twice. They attempted to steal 2016 and it didn't work. 2020, they did with their nonsense 51 Intel officials letter about the Hunter Biden laptop. How many times is the blob going to kick you in the nads before you put a cup on? And by the way, for, again, liberal morons out there, I know every one of your talking points. You see, I'm smarter than you. I know you're stupid. I'm smarter than you because I actually do this thing called homework and research. I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but you should try it sometime. I already know what your response is going to be. They won't admit it, but quietly they'll be like, all right, we stole 2020. I mean, the Intel thing. This is liberal thing. That was pretty brilliant. I mean, and obviously Hunter Biden's laptop. We get a bunch of Intel hacks and communists to write a letter, and then we talk about it in a debate in front of a liberal media outlet that shuts Donald Trump down and when he's trying to answer the allegation. Brilliant. But in 2016, liberals will tell you ready? Guaranteed. If you have any liberal friends left, I'm sorry about that. But if you do, they'll say, well, they didn't try to interfere in the 2016 election with the Russia hoax. I mean, nobody knew about it till after the election. That's a good one. See, it would take you all of what, Jim, 30 seconds of research to figure this out. Here, I'm going to help you because you're not very smart. You got your phones out? You're not driving or taking care of kids or dealing with sharp objects? Take your phone out, and I want you to punch this into your favorite search engine. Hell, even throw it into Scroogle. They're a left-wing communist site, so you can't accuse me of bias. Put this in. New York Magazine, or New York Mag, Margaret Hartman, final October surprises reveal FBI is probing Trump's alleged Russia ties. Look at the date. Wow, it's November 1st, 2016, just a week before the election. I thought, Jim says it's just a coincidence. I'm making it up. Now, those of you who actually did it, we have, what does Talkers say, Jim? We have 8.5 million listeners. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's an estimate. Either way, it's a lot. Run a lot of stations. I promise you a lot of people just did that. And they're like, oh my gosh, Dan Bongino's right. He always brings receipts. They did put the Russia hoax out right before the election to try to steal it in a left-wing outlet, New York Mag. It's right there.
It's up on Gino.com. It's not Breitbart. Final October surprises reveal the FBI is probing Trump's alleged Russia ties 1 week before the election in 2016. But I thought Kendall Lady and her MSNBC, I thought they says that it didn't go out before the... I'm sorry you're an idiot. I'm sorry you believe them. See, unlike those morons, we actually bring receipts. By the way, someone sent me a message and was like, Dan, I don't like the name calling. I don't care. Sorry. You know what I don't like? Communists. Cutesy time's over, fellas. This ain't the cutesy time show. If it ain't for you, totally understand. Nothing personal. Unless if you're a commie. We're going to call you out. By the way, we will be doubling down on name calling. With 60 days going to the end. Just so you know, we will be calling out the commies. I promise you. Folks, they're trying to steal another one. So I made 2 points in the opening hour. The only reason this indictment went out yesterday is to tar conservative voices. They wanted to give the media people, as I showed you with that MSNBC clip, some fertilizer for the field. They needed, the left-wing media needed something to run with to say, we got to stop Donald Trump because he's a Putin stooge and so are his conservative supporters. So they threw out this indictment and threw in a bunch of conservative influencers who they acknowledge in the indictment had no idea this company was getting money from any Russian at all. Interesting how you were a Russian stooge, yet you had no idea the people you were dealing with were even Russian. Amazing how that happens. Second, I said there may be people working with the feds, and this may be another federal government operation. I would be very careful who I talk to. The three other points I want to make in this segment. Number one, this was not a pro-Trump operation. Number two, be wary of ops. And number three, this was clearly designed to give fertilizer to the media. So let's address point one. Folks, one of the people alleged, I can't say this enough, assume everything out of the DOJ and FBI is false until it is proven by trusted sources under oath in a court of law. I do not believe anything they say. But one of the allegations against Lauren Chen, who I forget what her thing used to be. I always used to confuse her. She had some brand she used to go by when she was over at Conservative Review. I was there at the time. And I don't remember what it is. I'm sorry. It was something millennial or something like that. I'm not really sure. But she is alleged to have taken money from this Russian-connected entity. And because she was in the conservative space, the allegation is that she went out and took, you know, used this company to go and bring in conservative influencers. Three of them who were mentioned, Tim Pool was more of a libertarian, to be fair, Benny Johnson and Dave Rubin. I know all three. They are not Russian assets. Don't even repeat the stupidity. There's no evidence whatsoever they had any idea any of this was even going on. But the weird thing is, the liberal media morons immediately ran with the story that, of course, Putin wanted them to run with, that because he loves chaos. Oh my gosh, the Russians are at it again, trying to help Trump. Go look at Lauren Chen's tweets. They're not pro-Trump. So what you're telling me, what? Is that Putin is a Biden-Harris supporter? Well, if I was as dumb as a liberal, I'd believe that. What do you mean, Dan? He's not? Putin is a supporter of chaos, period. If he thinks Kamala Harris is a chaos agent for him, he's for Kamala Harris. If he thinks tomorrow Trump is a chaos agent, he's for Trump. Please, I'm begging you, as I have nothing but respect for you. I treat you like the dignified, intelligent adults you are. I don't talk to you like you're idiots, like liberals talk to their audience. Please do not fall in this trap. Putin wants this candidate or the... He doesn't care. He wants chaos. Anything he can do
to sow division and uncertainty so that we destroy each other, he will do. Liberals are simpletons. Do not emulate that. Putin wants Trump. He does. Jim, play for me cut one. You're going to hear the voice of a translator. It's a woman. But I promise you, if you watch my podcast, this is a Vladimir Putin interview. He just gave. Perfectly timed with the corrupt Department of Justice press conference about another Russia influence campaign in the United States. I want you to listen to the translator's voice. Putin doesn't give a lot of interviews about who Vladimir Putin supposedly prefers in this election. This is his voice through a translator. Check this out.
If we can name a favorite candidate, it used to be Joe Biden, but now he is not participating in the election campaign, and he recommended to all his allies to support Ms. Harris. So that is what we are going to do.
Wait, we were just told by Derek Farland, Lisa Monaco, and FBI Director Ray yesterday that the Russians, or at least implied, the Russians want Donald Trump to win. Yet the people they were paying were posting anti-Trump stuff. And Vladimir Putin came out yesterday, right, conveniently timed with the presser, saying, hey, man, I was for Biden, but now I'm for Harris. You just heard it. No one's disputing the authenticity of that. Now, the simple mind, i.e. the imbecilic liberal, would say something like, well, you know, you want to think like them, you'd go, well, clearly he supports Harris. He does not. He supports chaos. And Vladimir Putin, the former KGB operative, knew that the best way to sow distrust in the media, institutions, the United States, and elections was to cause confusion. So what better way to cause confusion? Think like a KGB operative, not like the dumbass American media. The best way to sow confusion is to wait till the corrupt DOJ and FBI, who fell for another Russia hoax, do a press conference implying Russia likes Trump and wants him to win and is paying off conservative influencers, and then go give a presser saying you support Harris. I mean, it is evil. It is Skeletor-like evil, but it is tactically brilliant what he did. He's playing you, man. Not you. My listeners are smart. He's playing the morons on the left and in the media. And you're dumb enough to fall in line. This is not a Trump operation. The woman alleged to have run it. I believe nothing. But I have seen the tweets. It was not pro-Trump. I don't know what they're talking about. If liberals were smart, they're not. They're anti-smart. They're imbeciles. They're like antimatter. If liberals were smart, Christopher Wray, Lisa Monaco, and Derek Farland, our attorney general, in name only, they would have done all of this behind the scenes. They would have had our CIA reaching out to their FSB, the Russians, and they would have said what, Jim? Fellas, calm it down. We know exactly what you're doing. You're trying to sow distrust. You're telling one group you like Harris. You're trying to pay off conservative influencers. You're putting out a little chum in the water to get people to bite on money because you know our FBI will have to investigate it. We know what you're doing. We got an election coming up. You want us to basically do some industrial sabotage in Russia and start launching Trojans into your computer system? Stay out of our business. We're not putting this out in the media because I know exactly what you're doing. You want this out in the media so nobody trusts anything. But of course they couldn't do that. Why? Because Derek Farland is a moron. He is a Russian stooge just like these other losers. He knows what Putin's doing, and because they simply can't resist an easy effort to attack Donald Trump right before the election, they hold a presser 60 days out going, I don't know, conservative influencers being paid off. Really? Why didn't you charge him? Why aren't Dave Rubin, Benny Johnson, and Tim Pool in handcuffs? Why? Yeah, the answer is because you have no evidence they did anything other than
not vet a business partner, which happens all the time. You have zero evidence of anything. Folks, how many times am I going to tell you on this show? Please beware. If you see something on Twitter from a conservative influencer, I'm using the dreaded air quotes, and they matter here, that sounds stupid or counterproductive. Don't vote for Trump because of this or that. Vote for Kamala Harris. You should assume these people are being paid off. I have warned you about this over and over. As my friends, Jim, have we not put this out there? If it sounds stupid and counterproductive to a liberty, prosperity, make America great again movement, they're probably being paid off by someone. Some are just dumb. But I've seen it. You think we don't get these offers? Hey, Dan, money to put our posts up? Here's the answer to every one of it. No. The answer is no. And my third point, obviously, I made in advance. This was just fertilizer for the media, folks. The left-wing media are communist agitprop people themselves. They needed a story to kneecap Donald Trump, a story Vladimir Putin wanted out there. He wanted liberals believing conservatives are stooges, conservatives believing liberals are Russian stooges, and the left-wing media ran with it because that's exactly what they do. There's another op going on right now, too, though, with Russia for after the election. After? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not done at all. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bongino.
And a lot from Republicans, particularly old school conservative Republican, you know, economists and things like that. And he's walking us, first of all, I think, history. You know, how we became the greatest country in the world. We didn't have taxes until 1913, right? I've got the list here from our revenue in 1915 for the country. 48% came from excise tax, 30% from duties, right? So tariffs is how we made our money. Individual taxes are only 5.9%, corporate 5.6%. Imagine if we could start getting those down again. And there's some other lessons. He brought up McKinley, who was known as the Napoleon of protection. And, you know, historians look back at what happened with him. It's ironic because it cost the Republicans the election. But going back and looking at the tariffs that he imposed at his time, it sped up the production of, for instance, tinplate so quickly in our country that it was actually more beneficial than the short increases mm-hmm. in prices for consumers. And then again, many people don't know about the Fort Norm McKinley McCumber tariffs in 1922. But in 1920, we had the worst recession, depression in this country mm-hmm. Outside of the Great Depression. And as we came out of it, one of the tools that we actually used were tariffs. And remember, there was this thing called the Roaring Twenties right after that.
Mm-hmm. We do. And as you were speaking, just highlighting something that is coming from the president's speech just now, this is an important one because how the candidates lay out their plan to perhaps increase housing or lower housing costs for Americans, voters who believe the American dream is sort of, you know, dwindling sure. away when you can't afford to buy a home anymore. The former president just said there to the Economic Club that he would open portions of federal land for large-scale housing construction in zones that will be ultra-low tax and low regulation. This is interesting. Is this a plan that you would support?
It is something interesting. Listen, our government owns over 50% of the land in this country, right? So it is not only is interesting, but it's something people have been pushing for a very, very long time. The idea ultimately is like whether it's this or the so-called $50,000 for small businesses that no one ever is going to really qualify for, is that what's implementable, right? What can we really do to implement and jumpstart things? And you know, if the affordability is the question right yeah. now, and the lack of homes, the lack of supply, and the affordability. And so, if there's places we can build them cheaper, And people can go and buy them on their own. It might be.
And boost skilled labor, right? Bring some of those wages down if you increase the workforce.
All of that's important. Yeah.
And part of that, obviously, is inflation, because the cost to build those homes has just skyrocketed. And in a lot of cases, it doesn't make sense to build new homes.
By the way, we should also point out a big chunk of that cost are these regulations.
Absolutely.
Regulations. Trump spent a lot of time talking today about how he took down regulations. I don't think the American public understands. If you look at the cost of anything, look at a gallon of gasoline. Yep. How much is crude oil? How much is refinery? How much is regulations and other stuff in there, right? Every time the government passes a new law, you have to pay for it in one form or another.
Yeah. So this is more from the former president earlier on how he plans to defeat inflation, because it's those high prices that are the biggest burden right now.
To further defeat inflation, my plan will terminate the Green New Deal, which I call the Green New Scam, greatest scam in history, probably, a $10 trillion scam that we waste, we throw, like throwing money right out the window.
So that was the target of his speech just a short time ago. Meanwhile, on the other side, Kamala Harris and her economic vision for the country. This is Ian Sams, national spokesperson for her campaign, defending her economic vision. Listen.
And the vice president's doing that by talking about her economic vision. And it's really different. It's really different. It's a new way forward, not only for the Democratic Party.
America, land of the free, home of the Dan Bongino Show.
You know, I'm reading many of your responses on Rumble and other outlets as well. You know, you can always watch the show on Rumble, if the radio show, if you'd like to see me behind the camera. Just, I don't know why you'd want to see this face, but whatever. A lot of people who are just joining the show are like, but Dan, Putin endorsed Kamala Harris. Folks, please do not fall for this. Putin isn't endorsing anyone. The only reason he, quote, endorsed Kamala Harris is to sow chaos. That's it. I promise you. Liberals are just dumb enough to fall for all this. Folks, getting a good night's sleep is really important to your overall wellness. That's why I'm thrilled to tell you how much I love my new, it's got another one, Helix mattress. I'm sleeping and feeling better every day. You can sense the energy in the show. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Luxe and Ultra Premium Elite collections. The Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies. Take the Helix sleep quiz. Find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. Helix offers a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Every Helix mattress is a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It's the perfect combination of both comfort and support. Even better, the setup is fast and really easy. Helix is offering 25% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to Helix, that's H-E-L-I-X, helixsleep.com/Dan, helixsleep.com/Dan. It's their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Dan Bongino.
Jim, I think I need Sean Davis on for this. I know it's late, but can we get him on? I really, just see if he can do it, because this story, I cannot believe how many people are falling for this, or willingly falling for this on the swampy right. Folks, I've been warning you about this. They call it con Inc., these people who are just grifters. I don't like the term. There is a grifter class of blob swampies who are running with this narrative that the DOJ put out yesterday. Russia's buying off conservative influencers. Why? Because the conservative influencers have an audience they don't, and the grift is drying up. Be cautious. More on this coming up next.
Club. Let's step back in here in New York.
Bay Capital, Mr. John Paulson, founder of Paulson & Company, and Reshma Sanjani, founder and CEO of Girls Who Code and Moms First. We're going to go in alphabetical order, and therefore, Raj, you have the first question.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
I would like to ask about the United States economic sanctions programs. These programs have been used, as you well know, to advance our national security interests, our foreign policy objectives, but they also have economic implications. And the most recent was the program against Russia in response to the Ukrainian, their invasion of Ukraine, where for once we got the support of all our allies. So my specific question is, would you strengthen or modify any of these economic sanctions programs, particularly Russia, including the pipeline you mentioned?
Well, it's a great question. The problem with what we have with sanctions, and I was a user of sanctions, but I'd put them on and take them off as quickly as possible because ultimately it kills your dollar and it kills everything the dollar represents, and we have to continue to have that be the world currency. I think it's important. I think it would be losing a war. If we lost the dollar as the world currency, I think that would be the equivalent of losing a war. That would make us a third world country, and we can't let it happen. So I use sanctions very powerfully against countries that deserve it, and then I take them off. Because, look, you're losing Iran. You're losing Russia. China is out there trying to get their currency to be the dominant currency, as you know better than anybody. All of these things are happening. You're losing so many countries because there's so much conflict with all of these countries that you're going to lose that, and we can't lose that. So I want to use sanctions as little as possible. One of the things that we have with tariffs is that I'll say to them, you don't honor the dollar as your world currency. Is that right? You're not going to do it? No, we're not. I said, that's okay. I'm going to put tariffs all over your product. And they're going to say, sir, we'd love to honor the dollar as the world currency. You know, tariffs, in addition to monetary and the money that we'll take in, which will be bigger than you've ever seen in this country before, gives you tremendous political power. For something like that, as an example, I stopped wars with the threat of tariffs. I stopped wars with two countries that mattered a lot. A lot of people would have been killed. And I threatened tariffs coming into the United States if they don't make peace. And we made a lot of we didn't have conflicts like you have right now. We had very intelligent people. But the biggest threat you have is you lose that currency, and we have lost something that you'll never get back. And we can keep it if we're smart, but they use it too much, and then they just forget about it. And these countries, like Russia, it's going out now and doing its own thing, and, you know, they're going out bragging about how they don't need us anymore, et cetera, et cetera. The sad part about Russia is that Ukraine would have never happened if I was president, so we wouldn't really have to be talking about sanctions, but it did happen. And one of the things I'm going to do, a little bit relevant to your question, is if we win, I believe I can settle that war while I'm president-elect. Before I ever get into office, I can get that war settled and get that war stopped, because it's a horrible, horrible war. And far more people are killed in Ukraine. Far more people than you're realizing. They'll knock down this massive building, amazing the size of these buildings. They'll knock it down. They'll say nobody was injured. No, a lot of people were killed. The real numbers are far greater than what people are looking at. So I think it's a very important thing. Sanctions have to be used very judiciously, and you can win. We have things much more powerful, actually, than sanctions. We have trade, but we cannot lose our dollar standard. Very important. Thank you very much.
Great. Sander?
Thank you, Mr. President, for all the details on your economic policy. As you alluded to, tariffs are the other side of sanctions. And given that China is our major trading partner with our largest imbalance and possibly our chief national security threat to the United States, how can we better institutionalize trade policy and national security policy to be coordinated?
So I had a great relationship with President Xi.
be heard. Call 844-4-THE-USA now to let Dan know what you think. 844-484-3872. The Dan Bongino Show.
Here it is. Here's proof for you. This is exactly what Vladimir Putin, liberal goons, liberal commies in the United States, and the communist media here wanted. They all had one goal. Well, I take that back. Putin wants chaos. The left wingers want chaos if it hurts Trump, with that caveat in there. The left wing media wants to make Trump go away. So they all had this one goal in mind, chaos for a purpose. Putin's goal was chaos to destroy the United States from within. The liberal media is chaos to destroy Donald Trump. They got it. Associated Press, some 13 hours ago. Right-wing influencers were duped for covert Russian influence operation, U.S. says. Until you actually read the tweets by the person involved in this thing, according to the allegations, that are against Donald Trump. This is exactly what they wanted. Exactly what they wanted. And the morons in the liberal media ran with it. So now we got it. The October surprise is here early in September. Russia TV, RT, media companies buying off influencers in an effort to help Trump get elected with tweets attacking Donald Trump. You know what the funniest thing about this whole thing, folks, is? One of the people alleged to be involved, Lauren Chen, again, I'm going to show you the tweets tomorrow because I got a lot more to get to today. Her tweets are anti-Trump. And another guy involved, who I know very well, Dave Rubin, Jim, am I correct? Was a DeSantis guy. He was in no way a Trump guy. You know, liberal morons, you can go and look this up. You can just go to Twitter and go to their timelines and look. Do you have to be stupid all the time? Is there ever a time you're like, my moron quota has been reached and I don't want to be a moron today? It's been seven consecutive months of imbecile-like behavior. You can look this up. Imagine being the Associated Press after partaking willingly in two election theft scandals in 2016 and 2020. By falling for Russia hoaxes, falling, air quotes, for Russia hoaxes twice. One attempt to steal an election in 2016 and one successful in 2020. And then in 2024, again, uncritically repeating a headline put out by a DOJ and FBI that's done this twice. But they've got a backup plan. And unincredibly, their backup plan, if they lose and this Russia hoax doesn't work like 2016 when it failed, I mean, failed to win the election. It succeeded in that. It stymied President Trump's presidency. But we won the election. It succeeded in 2020 where they stole it. They've got a backup plan this time. I'm going to tell you something. And I want you to get ready for this. Flag it. Take a note. This is important. Folks, they are not going to let Donald Trump raise his right hand. They're not. I'm not telling you it's not going to happen. We're not powerless here either. I'm telling you they're going to do their best to make sure Donald Trump never raises his right hand with his hand on the Bible and takes that oath for the presidency. I'm telling you right now, if we win this election, and the polls are starting, I don't trust polls at all. I'm just saying if they're points in time, they're typically always wrong. But they're always wrong against Donald Trump. Donald Trump is running neck and neck, if not ahead, in just about every swing state. It's time for us to execute, go out and vote, 10, 10, and 10, bring 10 people with you. That's it. No more chatter. We're going to get it done. I give Donald Trump a 50-50 shot of winning because there is going to be cheating. We know that. But if Donald Trump wins, and on election night, it is such an overwhelming victory, electoral college-wise, that they can't possibly disguise it, I guarantee you by the next morning, you're going to see Russia hoax 4.0. They just launched 3.0. Tell me what's interesting about this article. So this is left-wing Politico. I mean, left-wing. This is like a step above Mother Jones, okay? Nothing you trust out of that. Conservative media people call it Bullico. I obviously can't say it on the air. I've given up on the FCC. Everything they told me, it's... Jim tells me it's all... It's so whatever. Politico. John Sakellaritis. The article's called Hacking Blind Spot. Now, remember, any discussion of election machines on the right is considered election denying and a conspiracy theory, which is fascinating because left-wing Politico just the other day, September 1st, 2024, wrote an article about software in election machines. Why would they be doing that? Well, let me read it to you and you tell me. Quote, the probe into this software unearthed some unwelcome surprises. Colon. Hat tip Chris Plant for that one. Software misconfigured to connect to servers in Russia. And the use of open source code, which is freely available online, overseen by a Russian computer engineer convicted of manslaughter, according to a person familiar with the examination. You picking up what I'm putting down? Why would Politico... You can actually read an article they wrote about me calling me an election denier. Jim, turn your mic on a second. Have we ever on this show denied that an election happened in 2020?
We have not.
So is election denier an appropriate label to slap onto our back?
No.
Thank you. Even sir. Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir. Even sir. Even sir at 60 Minutes knows calling someone an election denier is a ridiculous agitprop communist tool. I've never denied an election happened. I've only denied that a free and fair one happened because it didn't. We know that. We know they fleeced it in 2020. It's fairly obvious. I don't deny the election happened. Oh, it happened. They just stole it. But you were called an election denier. Politico actually wrote a piece about me being an election denier. You can go look it up. For questioning how they operated in 2020. And if you dared bring up voting machines, you were called a crazy person. So why would Politico be writing about Russians and their access to software and voting machines and elsewhere and election software? Why would they be doing that? Quote, security bugs. Well, lucky you got your homie Dan Bongino here, and we're going to be 60 days ahead of the news cycle. So if Donald Trump wins, and we hope he does on election night, Jim, you got this flagged? This is like the king of all flags. Audience, flags in the chat. If you watch the podcast, you know, flags in the chat. I guarantee you the next day, the Democrats, yes, with the help of the liberal communist media, they will not be called election deniers, by the way. The next day, I'll start saying, hey, man, you know, we were warning you guys about these election machines and the software and the Russians. And we know the Russians wanted Donald Trump to win the election. Remember the press conference we did on September 5th with Derek Farland and Christopher Wray and Lisa Monaco talking about the Russian influence operation? So I think what they did is they wanted to get Trump to win, but they couldn't do it. So what they did is they messed with the software, and we really need to look into these election results. Flag it! Flag it right now! And I can't write any more books. I'm sorry. I'm done. I would write the fourth installation in the government Russia collusion series of books I've written on this, Spygate, Exonerated, and Follow the Money. But honestly, I get too many jobs right now. It's coming. It's coming. This is all on my podcast today, recorded on today's episode. So go to Rumble, click on it, copy the link, email it to yourself. Because I've already given you what's going to happen from this point forward. We are the Stygian witches today. Give me the eye! We are. We are. We have the eye.
Give us the eye.
This show is... We must have the eye. I know everything. You know why? Because my enemies are stupid. They're stupid people. Folks, listen, I'm no Stephen Hawking, okay? I got a pretty average IQ. I just read a lot. But I've got an investigator's eyeball for stuff. That's why we always beat these idiots at their own game. The pre-op Russia hoax was launched yesterday. Conservative influencers are bought off by Russia. Anyone who comments pro-Trump from this point on is going to be tagged with this story from yesterday, even though the influencers alleged to be brought off were not even pro-Trump guys. Matter of fact, Benny was a Vivek guy. Did nothing about the story is real. Nothing. And then if they lose, you heard it here first, they're going to refer back to this Politico thing and they're going to question the results and go, man, I don't know. Those voting machines, man, I'm telling you, we told you about the Russians, you know, messing with the results and stuff. They're worried, folks. They're worried that their cheating is not going to be sufficient enough to overcome a potential Trump surge in support at the end. I don't want to get into red wave talk. It's time to execute. We've already been burned by that. I'm just telling you, they are worried, legitimately worried about what's going to happen. I would borderline terrified. Here, CNN doing their job yesterday. Exclusive, Biden administration to accuse Russia of sustained effort to influence the 2024 election. Folks, they can't stop. They cannot stop. Now, I want to point out to you again, so you know you're not wasting your time here. We covered this article about a week ago and have been warning you about Russia hoax 3.0 and 4.0 for a long time. I covered this article by Holman Jenkins a while ago. It's called Trump versus Kamala's Coronation. I encourage you to look it up. It's from August 27th in the Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com. Holman Jenkins has been all over this. This guy has incredible sources. If you read his work in the journal, the Wall Street Journal is definitely kind of a center right, if not center left on some issues. However, between Strassel and Jenkins, they have nailed this Spygate collusion thing from the start, way ahead of just about everyone. Jenkins has some ridiculously good sources. I want you to listen to this. And then keep in mind the clip we played in the beginning of the show of Fusion Kendallanian on MSNBC, their alleged national security reporter who has a troubling CIA connection, right? Kendallanian's like, oh my gosh, RT, this Russian television company, these people are influencing the U.S. election. Now listen to Holman Jenkins a week ago. This guy's scary good at this. He says, keep an eye on any follow-up to the recent FBI raids on the homes of gadfly Scott Ritter and Dmitry Symes. They're American commentators on Russia's barely watched international TV service. You believe this guy? Did he nail this a week ago or what? Telling you that the FBI is raiding these RT people and anyone on there in an effort to establish some fake narrative that Russia's bought off conservative influencers? He goes on, he says, breathlessly recalled by the press, Mr. Symes' names appeared 134 times in the Mueller report, but the mentions are all exculpatory. The longtime head of the Center for National Interest, he participated in a luncheon with board members and Jared Kushner. He notes sarcastically, the horror. Credit where credit is due, man. I read this to you when it came out. I said, keep your eye on this RT thing. This was from him. This guy must have been tipped off by someone that the Russia hoax 3.0 is going to be this Russian television media company buying off conservative influencers. That's the hoax. How do we know it's a hoax? Because you can read their tweets. Benny Johnson was going doing Vivek stuff. Dave Rubin was a DeSantis supporter. Tim Pool's a libertarian. He's not even a conservative. And the one alleged ringleader was posting anti-Trump stuff. Just do your homework, liberals, and you won't look stupid all the time. Just once.
We got a big welcome back coming next. This is huge. This is a big day, too. It is, right, Jim? Huge. Big show ahead. Stay tuned. Be right back.
Bongino. Coming this fall on DNC TV, just in time for the election. The reboot 50 years in the making.
Trump and some of his allies are promoting a hate movement.
Welcome back, Stelter.
What does the press get wrong when covering Biden's agenda? What do you think we get wrong?
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Is the president of the United States a racist? Is he suffering from some kind of illness? Is he fit for office?
Oh, I got it!
CNN's fact-checking team led by Daniel Dale checked out the DNC speeches. When they did make assertions of facts, they have been largely accurate.
I'm so confused.
Tease him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
The GOP is not a party anymore in the traditional sense. It's a cult.
Never grown before. I think if this all works out, you're going to have the auto industry come back to America. Right now, China is building two auto factories in Mexico, massive auto factories, and they think they're going to make their cars in Mexico and send them back into the United States with no tax. It's not going to happen. Under this administration, it's going to happen. And they wanted to do that during my administration. I said, if you do it, we're going to put a 200% tariff on every car, and you'll never be able to see it. There will never be one car coming across our border. And if I would have let them do it, we would have had these two factories. Well, now they're building massive factories, more than two, and they're going to kill Detroit. And the head of the union, the United Auto Workers in Detroit, has done a terrible, terrible job, just a terrible job. But we're going to bring tremendous growth back. And remember, we're also taking in a certain percentage. I won't name the percentage today, but it'll be a certain tariff percentage, which will be higher than people had heard in the past. And we will be bringing in billions and billions of dollars, which will directly reduce our deficits. Okay? Thank you very much. Good job you've done, by the way. Very good.
Thank you. And the final question, Reshma, is to you.
Thank you. President Trump, you talked about how the increase in the price of food, gas, and rent is hurting families. But the real cost that's breaking families' backs and preventing women from participating in the workforce is child care. Child care is now more expensive than rent for working families and is costing the economy more than $122 billion a year, making it one of the most urgent economic issues that is facing our country. In fact, the cost of child care is outpacing the cost of inflation, with the majority of American families of young children spending more than 20% of their income on child care. One thing that Democrats and Republicans have in common is that both parties talk a lot about what they're going to do to address the child care crisis, but neither party has delivered meaningful change. If you win in November, can you commit to prioritizing legislation to make child care affordable? And if so, what specific piece of legislation will you advance?
Well, I would do that, and we're sitting down. You know, I was somebody. We had Senator Marco Rubio, and my daughter Ivanka was so impactful on that. It's a very important issue, but I think when you talk...
Keeping his friends close and his enemies educated. The Dan Bongino Show.
You know, Jim, you're right. Kamala Harris can't do that. Trump is now at this economic conference symposium giving a speech. He's been there, what, 2 hours? He's been answering questions for 45 minutes now. It's incredible. By the way, a lady just asked the question, went on really long, and me and Jim were like, is there a question mark at the end of this? It was more like a statement, and that happens a lot at these events. I always have to wrap it up, and it's, I don't mean to be rude, but it's out of respect for other people who want to ask questions. If I'm giving a speech, which is rare, I'm always like, after about a minute or so, I say, is there a, you know, question mark at the end of that thing? I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying, like, there's another person behind you, you know, because sometimes, you know, it happens a lot with candidates. They'll come up and give a whole speech. And by the way, my website, like, listen, there's a woman behind you. But not Trump. Trump just let her fire away. He's just knocking it out of the park. And you see J.D. Vance, by the way? Some reporter or someone on Twitter is like, you know, support families. J.D. Vance lays out like a 7-8 point plan in like a 500-word tweet, a detailed on Twitter. On Twitter, Kamala Harris is yet to prescribe one serious non-communist policy out there. It's amazing. At least with Trump or Vance, you know what you're voting for or against, right? With Kamala Harris, you're voting for Gozer, the Gozerian. Who's that? Remember Ghostbusters? Gozer. Gozer's anything you want it to be. That's how he turned into the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That's Kamala Harris. Whatever you want her to be, she is. In front of communists, she's a commie. In front of independent voters, she's a market conservative. She's Gozer, the Gozerian. And many Americans are tired and frustrated by a stalling economy, inflation, endless wars, and the relentless assault on our values. Thankfully, there's companies like Patriot Mobile that still believe in America and our rights. I'm proud to partner with Patriot Mobile. They're on the front lines fighting for our rights, the sanctity of life, and our military and first responder heroes. Take a stand for conservative causes and put America first by switching to Patriot Mobile today. You'll get the same coverage as the big providers because Patriot Mobile operates across all three major networks. Plus, they back their service with a coverage guarantee. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team will find the best plan for your needs. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Go to patriotmobile.com/Dan or call 972-PATRIOT. Right now, and you'll get a free month when you sign up and use the offer code Dan. Don't be fooled by other providers pretending to share our values or have the same coverage. They don't, and they can't. Join me and switch to America's only Christian conservative mobile provider, Patriot Mobile. Go to patriotmobile.com/Dan or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
Dan Bongino.
So here's what I got coming up, because we're not done. Donald Trump did a town hall last night. This news cycle is just a little bit overwhelming. I'll be candid with you. Not overwhelming in that we can't triage it. It's just I'm afraid there are stories that are getting left out, and I don't want to cut them short. I have a whole big block on the Secret Service I'm probably going to get to tomorrow. I got an insider tip that's really disturbing. Again, we've been ahead of the news cycle on that. Trump did a town hall last night with Hannity. There was one specific point in the night, though, that I think really pointed out why people want to support Donald Trump. Remember, snapshots and soundbites. And there's a certain media figure, the monarch of misinformation, the duke of disinformation. He's got a head that slightly resembles a potato. He's back. Jim has done a nice welcome for him. So we got that. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about this Russia hoax, because remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is a disinfo op. Don't fall for it.
Until about 9:05 p.m. on November 5th, at which point, sometime between then and around Christmas, I would expect that President Biden will pardon his son. And there won't be any need for Kamala Harris to do it if she wins the election, because he has that window between Election Day and Inauguration Day to do it.
Well, speaking of this being a White House problem, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, was just asked about this, Andy, and here was KJP's response.
On Hunter Biden changing his plea, does the White House have a comment at all, and does that change the president's calculus on pardoning his son?
Your first question, I'm not able to comment at this time. On your second question, which was, I guess, part of one question, it's no. It's still no.
Was the president aware that he was going to plead guilty?
I don't have anything else. I'm not able to comment on it, but I can say that it is still very much a no to the questions that I've gotten about if the president's going to pardon his son. But I don't have anything else to add.
Can you comment on whether a commutation would be on or off the table?
That's also no.
Did the decision to change his plea have anything to do with the president no longer running for re-election? don't have anything to say beyond what I just said.
Still very much a no, said Karine Jean-Pierre Handy.
Yeah, very impressive. You know, look, I think let's be rational about this, right? If you were a normal defendant who didn't know you had a pardon already banked, you would negotiate a plea. There's three felony counts here and six misdemeanor counts, right? You would be negotiating with the government in order to create a ceiling beyond which you knew you wouldn't be sent to prison. So that's the whole reason for a real negotiation, is that, to try to minimize the damage. You don't come in and offer to eat the whole indictment. You don't come in and say, I'm willing to plead to all three felony counts and all six misdemeanor counts and anything else you want to throw at me, unless you know that it doesn't really matter in this case whether you plead to one count.